Alright, we'll start at the bottom of Kuf Zayin Amud Bet. We'll start by the Mishnah. Mishalach v'medinat hayam v'amad achad v'ines et ishto. So he went overseas, and generous soul decided to take care of his wife while he was gone. Hanan omer yibid v'milotnatam. Hanan says that he's out of his money. And that he had no requirement, the husband did not ask him to pay for the wife or to support his wife while he was gone. And therefore, this individual went and did that, basically forfeited his money by supporting his wife. Because he said, I never asked you to loan her money, I never asked you to take care of her. So therefore, he's basically on his own. That he should take a shavua, how much he spent on this guy's wife, and take the money. Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Hyrcan is kidibrehem. Like the words going. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yofa Amar Hanan. It makes a lot of sense. He put his money out in the, basically in a public domain. I mean, he threw his money away. So if he threw his money away, that he really doesn't have any rights to make claims on this individual. None. Right, it's not hatam. We have a Mishnah Nidorim. Hamodar ano mechavero, shoka lo et shiklo, uforea et chovo, uforea lo et chovo, umachzir lo avedoto. Makom shenot imschar, tibol ana lehekdesh. So in the case where two individuals are mudar hanap from each other, meaning that they will not, are restricting themselves from getting any benefit from one or the other. And yet, nevertheless, what do you see? That number one, shokelet shiklo, he can give his shekel to the Mikdash, right? Every year in the month of Adar, they used to collect a shekel from each individual. That's the machatzisa shekel. That machatzisa shekel went to pay, we just learned about it, but went to pay for all the karbanos and all the public needs. So that he could pay on his behalf, he can pay him a shekel. Number two is for leit chovo, he could pay down his loan. If he had lent money out, he could go ahead and pay his money, pay off the loan for him. Umachzir lo avedato, and then he can return him a lost item. In a place where they pay people when you return an item. Maybe there's some sort of reward system or there's some sort of payment system. Here it seems to be that if they get the amount of money it took for them to, meaning that the equivalent value of the time they gave up to bring back the Aveda, they would pay them like a worker at that time, a easy job worker. Alright, so now, Tipol and Hekdesh, then that money would go to Hekdesh. Now the Gemara is going to dissect this. Bishlamo shoka lo et shiklo mitzvah kovid. Right, so then if it's coming, if we're talking about paying for his shekel, he's doing a mitzvah for him on his behalf, and therefore it's not an issue of right. We'll see in a second. It's a mechlokas Rashi tells us how to read what the lack of knowledge here. It's not. We have a Mishnah, tormim al ha'avud, that one can take the trumas alishka. When they used to separate out, they used to take all the money, and then they used to take off a section. Truma, they used to take a section of it and torim, take off of that amount to pay for the karbanot to tzibur. As long as your money was in that pile when they were torim, then you were a part of the karbanos. Nevertheless, tormim al ha'avud, something that was lost, you're entitled to be counted as part of the karbanot sidur. Bahala gavui, that which was collected, ve'al ha'atid legavot, and that which will be collected in the future. So what do you see from this? Let's see Rashi. Rashi's interpretation about why when he pays for the shekel he's not doing anything. It's because mitzvah ka'avid, let me just see, where is this? Yeah, mitzvah ka'avid in Rashi. It's right across from the first line in the Gemara, mitzvah ka'avid. Koma. Mitzvah ba'amah ka'avid. Ve'eno mehan ho lezeh. And he's giving him no benefits. That would sound like what you're saying, Shaul, that it's mitzvahs lav le'enot ninyo. She'im lo shakal alav, this is the reason Rashi gives, because if he doesn't pay, lo hifsid klum, she'esh lo chalek bar karbanot. It sounds different than mitzvah.
Two different things. I mean.
Right. One, it sounds like since he's doing a mitzvah, there's no, or mitzvah alma kavit. And then, comma, if you put the comma here, then you say, he doesn't give any enough, because if he doesn't pay the shekel, he still gets a part of the karbanos.
Because of the...
because of this Mishnah. Right. So this is... So the fact is, why it's not. In Torah, at the Lishka B'Shlosh Kufot, they used to take in the... They used to divide it up into three baskets, and they used to take it off three times, the Truma there. Allah Avud. So what's Avud mean? Afal Misha Shalach Shikva V'Avad. Someone who sent their shekel and was lost on the way. That still counted as part of that. The Allah Gavui. Shelo Adayin Lo Yigiyakan. They collected the shekel already, but just didn't reach the Mikdash. So that's the one we're focused on, right? In the future we collected. Even if it's never ever collected. Means that anybody who didn't pay their shekel and will be collected in the future, even though in the future it never is collected, nevertheless you have a portion of the karbanos. He just missed out on a mitzvah. So there's a two different things here. Rashi says to be part of the carbonos of tzibur, you don't have to do anything, basically. So therefore, his paying of the shekel gives him no benefit. The only benefit of giving the shekel is that you've done a mitzvah. So whoever gives the shekel, or the chatzi shekel, is the one who gets the mitzvah. So you have not given any personal benefit, almost in the sense you've even been a detriment to him, because he no longer can do this mitzvah. But you've given no personal benefit, because otherwise he would be, if he did nothing and sat at home, he would still have everything he needs. So you're paying of the mechatz of the shekel is just a mitzvah that you're getting.
Even a little bit more to this. If the person never gives, he's still a mishtate, he just doesn't get the mitzvah. So, and the lesson practically implies that, and if someone else gives on his behalf, the other one who gives it gets the schar for giving it. So that's Rashi's one that why he's not getting any anar, because he's already mishtadek he is even if no one ever gives it on his behalf, and if the other guy gives it for him, the other guy gets the mitzvah. He himself doesn't get the mitzvah, so he's really doing.
It's almost to his detriment because he's taking away the mitzvah in any sense. But that's right. So that's Rashi's interpretation, which is pretty. Pretty amazing in two senses. One is that atid l'gavot means that even if they don't collect it, one. And number two is the way he explains all the other parts of that Mishnah are interesting. So Tosfos takes on a different interpretation here. Let me just look here where we can look at this. Alanir l'parish. Okay, it's in the Tosfos about atid l'gavot. Obviously he brings Rashi down and rejects it. In the third to last line in that Tosfos, Alatid L'Gavot, the third to last line, it says Elanir L'Farish. It's a couple words in the line, Elanir L'Farish. You see that? Elanir L'Farish in the Tosfos, Alatid L'Gavot.
Again, where is it?
It's in the Tosfos, Alatid L'Gavot.
Yeah.
Alright, in the third to last line in that Tosfos, Elanir L'Farish. A couple words in on the line, got it? Alright. Elanir L'Farish. Right, Elanir Lefarish Allah Abud. What does it mean that it was lost? Rashi says lost means that he sent it and it got lost on the way. Shibaba Yad Gabai Babai. No, if it got lost on the way, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when it reached the Gabai already, and then the Gabai lost. I mean, that's Hektesh's responsibility that it got lost, not the Shliach's responsibility that it got lost. Bila Gabui. What does Gabui mean? That was already collected. Biyad Shliach. Benamai Biyad Shliach. That's when the shliach was taking it, but on the way he loses it, but that's only after they already took off the portion of the truma already. The Mishnah explains there that if it's after the truma already, he's not responsible, and then it's as if he gave it already. If it's before the truma, then he has to give another shekel. So that's what Tosfos explains it. The Nevad Kodim Shnitrama Truma, if it was before they took off the Truma, Chayvim Balim Bachrayut, then you're responsible to replace it. Valatila Gavot, what is that? Shiavod Deg Yubui Basof, that it will be collected in the end. Right? Bahad Amar Kaka Shokolo at Shiklo Babud Vigiboy, Deloma Chayvim Balim Bachrayut. Right? Because they are not responsible for the replacing it. So that's what it means here. So Rashi reads that, what's the key case? When the Mishnah is brought down here, what's the key case? It's Alatid L'Gavot, the one in the future. And Rashi premises on that even if one never gives the shekel, they still have a portion in the karbanos that's tzibur. And therefore, if he doesn't ever give it, he's no detriment to him. And someone else gives it, there's no benefit to him because he would still be a part of it. They get a mitzvah, but that doesn't affect him at all. That's what Rashi interprets it. So it's just, no, it's going on the other two cases in the Mishnah. It's not going on the Alatid L'Gavot, it's going on the Avat, the lost case, and the Gavui, that was already collected. In instances where he would not be responsible to replace the shekel. There are times when the shekel is lost, or the machatzita shekel is lost, or when the machatzita shekel is already taken by the shliach, and then was collected ready, but then gets lost by the shliach. In those two cases, we say that the balim do not have achrayut, they have no recourse to go back and collect the chatzit shekel again from them, because either one, it was already hekdesh lost it, therefore it's hekdesh's responsibility, or the shliach lost it after the truma was taken in the mikdash. In those two instances, they don't have to replace it. So then the other guy goes in and replaces it for him anyway. So despite, even though he wasn't responsible to give it, nevertheless, this guy goes and says, all right, you know, my machatzit shekel, he feels bad that his machatzit shekel didn't get there, so he sends another machatzit shekel. So this is an instance, according to Tosfos, where he would not be responsible to replace it, and nevertheless, this guy's doing it on his behalf and replacing it. So they read the opposite of the Mishnah. They use the opposite cases in this Mishnah to prove or to explain why he's allowed to be shokel shikla when it's osur ba'anot.
You practically think that it just explains it a little bit as pshita. Like, well, you know, what's the Mishnah really telling us?
Well, because in the end, he does give him a half shekel, maybe. It's his half shekel that gives him.
But it's really not enough for him.
Right.
Because he was not obligated to do it.
But that's what they're explaining. They're explaining away the Mudir Anot case. This is how we could understand it, that it would even make sense.
Right. But Rashi's case is more of a fit. Or you understand what you didn't say, because you wouldn't have thought that was a complete absence of enough for him.
Right. Yeah, but the problem with Rashi is that there are other places which we skipped in the Tosfos. There are other places which don't sound like that. This Atid L'Gavot that they do. There's responsibility, and it's not so simple. Atid L'Gavot means that you don't have to do anything, and you can show up, and everything is good. All right, so I wanted to point it out because it's just important how they read the Mishnah to support the positions in the Gemara. And now the next case. And now, umaksir l'avedoto. All right, nami mitzvah ka'ovid. Returning his aveda, there's nothing to talk about. He's doing a mitzvah. The Torah commands you to return the aveda. And therefore, there's no question there when you say mitzvah slav la'enos. No, that's basically, you're returning the aveda. The fact that you're returning to this individual, that's not because you're giving hanot to this individual, you know, specifically. It's because you're executing the Torah's requirement to return an aveda. And therefore, it's not considered a problem of hanot. Ella, porea lo et chovo. What about paying back his loan? How come here you can go back and pay back his loan? Ha, k'mishtar shileh. You're benefiting him. Here he owes $100, right? Or he owes 100 quid. And he now, right, needs to pay that back. And you go ahead and step in and pay it back for him. You've just taken care of a major problem that he has, or a major loan that he has. Why is that not considered to be hung up?
One of these things is not like the other.
Right, so Amar of Oshia, Hamani. Who's the author of this case here? Hanani. That's our Mishnah, Hanan in our Mishnah. Why? The Amar ibed et ma'utav, that he lost his money. That meaning that when you go ahead and you lend money to someone else who never asks you to do something on their behalf, they have no responsibility to pay you back. So just like in our Mishnah, where, for instance, what happens in our Mishnah, he goes in and lends money or gives money to this woman to eat, and then he's expecting the husband to pay him back. What did Hanan say? You did it without the husband asking you. You did it out without any requirements or without any documents that say that he would owe you the money. And therefore, you lost your money. You're out of money. If he wants to pay you, fine. But he is not obligated to pay you. He has no responsibility to pay you. Same thing over here. You go and pay back somebody else's loan. He has no responsibility to pay you back. Meaning that what you've done is basically thrown your money away. It's like you were mafkir your money into the public domain, and it's as if you did, I mean, in a sense, you've done nothing, because he has no obligation to pay you, and,
But he doesn't have to go pay that loan back anymore either.
What?
But he doesn't have to go pay that loan back.
Okay, alright, so, fair question, alright.
Same way as his wife is not starved.
No, there's
a wife when he comes back.
Okay.
I mean,
we're assuming that's what I'm saying.
Alright, so good, but you have both of you, great question. So first of all, I will read the last line in Rashi. Rashi has to, Tosfos learns the Gemara differently, and that's what all this space in Tosfos is saying, that we learn the Gemara differently because of your problems, which it's very difficult to understand with the Gemara depth. The last line in Rashi, if you look in the wide lines in Rashi, the second wide line in Rashi, the way Rashi explains it, the second wide line down, and Rashi says, the kevan, the ilu pari l'shem halva, Had he lent them money this way, it wouldn't have been a loan. That's our case in the Mishnah, right? Had he lent them money in this fashion, it would not be a loan. When he pays back the guy's loan, it's as if he gave him nothing. So since, had he loaned him money like this, I mean, had the transaction been in a different form. For instance, say he never even paid the loan back. Say he just hands him money. And just says, okay, here's it, without the form of a loan, without a form of a document.
The guy comes with the other blue and hands you money.
$100. So whatever.
You have an obligation to pay him.
The same thing here. That's what Rashi's saying. Rashi's saying, if he has a loan, he borrows $100 from someone else, and then you come along and just hand him $100. Don't pay the loan off. That $100, he has no obligation to repay you, and you haven't given him any benefit. I mean, but there's nothing going on here. There's no transaction.
You're actually saying that there is a halachic status of hana, which doesn't, it's not whether you actually, it's not just whether you actually get hana from something, it's whether he did something that halachically, you know, constitutes hana. So, loaning somebody money is giving him hana, right? You know, and every, like, you know, you did something, if you would give him a loan, that would be awesome, because you would mudra hana, right? But if you saw him walk over, and it's like you did something that has no status, right? Even though Lamaisa, he gets a benefit from it, but you're doing something that has no halakhic status.
Giving a gift is no halakhic status?
Right, so that's difficult to describe. I mean, that it still feels like he's gifting him money, right? But the question is, maybe because it has to do with the intent of I think the way Rashi's explaining it has to do with the intent of the giver, and that's what's interesting here. Rashi says that if the giver would intend to loan the money, that's what he was doing over here with the wife. He was intending to lend money, not to give it as a gift. And then in the end, this guy has to not pay him back. Then the hanoah is not generated because one guy is giving it as a loan, and the other guy says, I didn't need to do this. You didn't help me. You didn't do anything for me because I wasn't going to take care of my wife this way. And the Gemara will give alternatives to how to take care. Or what do you thought his wife was going to do? He thought his wife could skimp a little bit. And if she skimped a little bit, she wouldn't have needed so much money. All right. So that's one way to explain it. But it's very, Rashi is hard. It's not difficult. And that's why, I'll read one more line according to Rashi and the Gemara, and then we'll go back and see how Tosfos learns the Gemara in order to solve this problem. All right. So afilu tamer rabbanan. So Rava says no. Afilu tamer rabbanan. Even rabbanan our mission can fit in here. Hakol amay skinu shalava almanach lo difroa. Somebody lent him money, but he didn't have to pay it back. He lent him money. If he wants to pay it, whatever he feels like paying it back, he can pay it back. He had no obligation or time limit in which he had to pay it back. So therefore, he's not under pressure. Your paying of the loan now really does not benefit him, since he was under no pressure or obligation to pay the loan. Right, that makes a little more sense. Bishlama Rava. No, I'm like Rav Oshia. Rava didn't learn like Rav Oshia because of Mukmi like Rav Aman. He wanted to explain the Mishnah in Nedarim like our Mishnah over here, which would make it easier. Right, since the law is Kira Abanan over here, but make it better. Therefore, he didn't learn like Rav Oshia. Now, El Rav Oshia, my time alone, my Karabo. Why didn't Rav Oshia, who says that Hanan is the author of that statement about the Budar Anah statement, why didn't he learn like Rav Oshia? So, Omar Karabo, Omar Karabo Oshia, and he the Hanah lay slay. All right, fine, he doesn't give him any Hanah. By paying back the loan, he doesn't give him any Hanah. Meniki Sufa, me lay slay. Doesn't he have embarrassment? I mean, the fact that when someone lends you money, and even though you're not obligated to pay it back, and there's no time limit on paying it back, still every time you see the person, you feel a little awkward. You feel a little bit embarrassed that you haven't given the money back. That's human nature. And therefore, he is benefiting him. Even though he's not benefiting him monetarily in the sense that he's paying the loan back, he's still benefiting him from the sense that he protects him from that embarrassment or that uneasy feeling you would have every time he saw this individual that lent him money. All right, so that's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Now, Tosfos deals with the problem and has, let me just see if we can find a good line in here. All right, Tosfos re-explains this. We'll explain the Rabbeinu Tam. If he must perish Rabbeinu Tam, let me see. Find across from the Gemara. All right, you see where in Rashi it says Va'atid the Gavot in Rashi, Va'atid the Gavot in Rashi. If you go straight across from there into the Tosmos, in the middle of that line, the Tosmos says Lufi Mashapirish. All right, it says Lufi Mashapirish Rabbeinu Tam. The way that Rabbeinu Tam explained it, it's straight across from the Rashi that says Va'atid the Gavot. If you see in Rashi there, Va'atid the Gavot in Rashi, and then go straight across into the Tosmos. It's the middle. Rashi is like dead center of the Rashi's. It's about dead center of the Rashi's, and then straight across from Rashi Shapir. The Hanan's whole opinion is only with regards to feeding his wife. Because of this exact issue. Meaning that he said, you didn't benefit me, because you know what? My wife would have skimped a little bit. She wouldn't have eaten as much. She would have been, you know, she wouldn't have spent as much on her clothing. She could have made it through without the money. The fact that you gave her money, and you really didn't benefit me, because I don't think I would have had to spend the money. Now that you gave her the money, she spent the money. Anybody else who's paying off a loan is not, that's not the case. And if you pay off somebody's loan, like you guys have been suggesting, that is hanah. And when it comes to hanah, because when it comes to giving hanah, that would be a problem when you mudar hanah. Then he's going to now have to reinterpret our gemara over here. So now, how does he explain our gemara? When our gemara says hanahi, what does that mean? We have a case of parlei lo chovo. He's paying back his loan, and nevertheless, we're saying what? We're saying that that is equivalent to Hanan's case in the Mishnah.
In the case of our Mishnah, he clearly is saying it's clearly not enough because it's actually costing him more money.
Right.
You know, if he has to pay him back, right, then he's ending up spending more than if his wife had just cut down. That's what it was.
Okay. All right, so look at the Tosfos. Tosfos Hamani Hananhi. Right, so the first the part of the Tosfos seems to read like Rashi, and then we'll get Rabbeinu Tam's interpretation of here. Ha Mani Hananhi. You see that the bottom Tosfos, the last Tosfos on the page, Hamani Hananhi. Hoil v'chein. What do you mean? He paid. Now you were asking, which is a valid question. He paid back a loan, and now he doesn't have to pay a loan anymore. If he doesn't have to pay a loan, that's benefit to him. Ho v'chein sheinu yachol atal l'tov omi menu afapi shemikom akol mahanahu. He does give him benefit. Shein tzarach l'shalem chovo. He no longer has to repay his debt. That should be benefit that he doesn't have to repay the debt. V'shom hachi lo mitzar. That's not us. Or why? Sheinu ela grama bi'alma. That's only grama. That's not a direct benefit, but simply grama. Shadei shepareya zeh lebal chovo mitzar. Right? What he did is he paid off his loan. When he paid off his loan, did he give him direct benefit? No, that's not a directed benefit. There's a causative benefit, which is what? That if he now no longer has to pay the loan. But the money itself did not go directly to him. Money went to the creditor.
And
the money
went to saying, are we saying that he does get benefit, but not from this guy? He gets benefit from the creditor who's accepted that payment
exactly.
As repayment for the loan. Because the creditor could have said, I'm not accepting this, I'll accept it as a gift, but I'm not accepting it as payment of the loan.
Right. Right. So now, exactly what you're saying, if you skip down in the Tosfos one line, just skip to the middle of the next. Two lines down, below dummy. It's the middle of the line, below dummy. Below where it says Nadarm Daf Mem and Gimel Aleph, a little over to the left, one line down, it says below dummy. Below dummy, lo silo malacha. It's not similar. What happens if you did something directly for him? Again, the also. Abgab lo mazi tabule, in ekvine, even though you couldn't get something back from him. Again, the cases are exactly the same. In both cases, the individual does not have to pay you for what you gave him because you did something gratis. You do something gratis, I mean, either paying his loan down or giving him something, but the two are different. The hata midei kamitane. Over there, there's directed benefit because I'm doing something directly for you. Avahaka grumba bamahu. Here, it's simply causative, and I think, like you were saying, Daniel, that you pay the creditor. You took care of the creditor. The fact that the debtor is now off the hook is just a result of the creditor now no longer needs to collect payments. So that's how Tosfos explains. And basically that's how Rashi would have to explain, I think, something to this effect. Rashi doesn't say this, right? But Rashi might have to explain it this way, which is that there's a difference between directed benefit, where I'm doing something that you directly benefit from, or benefit that comes as a result of something that I do. The fact that I paid the creditor off now means the creditor is not going to be hounding you anymore. The creditor is not hounding you anymore. It's not because I paid you money, but because I paid him money. Right, and that's an indirect benefit. So that's also explained that there's difference between directed benefit and indirect benefits. Rashi never says anything of this, never makes a focus on this, but I think in order to understand the questions, you know, that we raised here, that you have to explain it. Now, Rabbeinu Tam. How does Rabbeinu Tam explain this? And that's amazing, Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam refers Dari Dafka Mizonos Ishto. He says the whole Gemara here is about Mizonos Ishto. Mishum Haki Potur. It's not clear that this husband would ever have to pay these mizonos. Maybe he could have been off the hook. She would have spent less. She would have skimped a little bit. A little less food, a little less clothing. She would have been okay. Nobody had given her a loan. Even though it's a case where Beis Din said she's entitled. Nevertheless, that's not, of course, Denny's not going to be called. So the way Rabbeinu Tam explains this whole Gemara is a case, it's a Gemara over here of Chanan. Chanan is only in a case, remember we saw above, Chanan, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is also unique to a case of Mizonos. So the unique to a case of Mizonos, basically what Rabbeinu Tam is saying, is this case in the Darim, when he says, when Rav Oshia comes along and says, who is this? It's Chanan. He's not saying that it's Chanan, meaning Chanan's interpretation, but he's saying it's the case of Chanan. What's the case of Chanan? It's Mizonos. So he says, Pareo lo chovo over here in the Mishnah, in the Darim, that means what? Pareo chovo by Mizonos. It's a case of Mizonos. So Rabbeinu Tam says that the Gemara is reinterpreting the case of Pareo lo chovo to match the case of Chanan in the Mishnah, to say that it's a case of Mizonos. Because Rabbeinu Tam believes this position of Chanan is unique to Mizonos. That's what Rabbeinu Tam learns. Now you have a major machlokus, really, between Rabbeinu Tam and the other, even in Tosfos, there's machlokus, the other Bali Tosfos versus Rabbeinu Tam, and of course between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam here, is how, what the application of this din, that if you lend someone money, are you then able to collect from that individual when you lend them money without their asking for it, or you benefit the person, or is it considered benefit when you do such? So the other Balei Tosfos believe that this has broader implications. If you help your friend out, even when he doesn't ask you for it, and he brings other examples. For instance, if you're a shomer of his, and you're not out there, all of a sudden animals come, wild animals come to eat his animals, even though you may not be obligated in that case to save his animals because it was an onus, if you go ahead and pay money, you do something to save his animals, can you go then and collect from him?
Right.
You did something that would cost money to protect the animals, to somehow. Can you then go collect that money from the third party? Maybe not from the third party. Can you go collect the money from the individual gave you? Your relationship did not involve payment. You were a shomer chinam. You were a free shomer. There was no payment involved in your relationship. Yet now you do something that would require payment. Can you go back now and collect from the individual who gave to you? So again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, no. This case of Chanan is unique to Mizonos. It's only unique to this case of the woman, because the woman, you could say, the guy could always say, you could have done this, my wife could have gotten away with doing this.
According to Rabbeinu Tam, yes.
What?
According to Rabbeinu Tam, yes, you would be able to.
Rabbeinu Tam, yes, I'm sorry, yes, you would be able to go after him and collect the money.
Only in the case of Mizonos.
That you can't, right. Exactly, I'm sorry. Right, exactly what you're saying. Rabbeinu Tam says it's unique to Mizonos that you can't collect. In other places, you could collect. The other Balei doesn't say no. In other cases, it's the same as Mizonos. You go do something that you're not asked to do and not obligated to do, then you're really putting your money out for free, meaning you're making your mafia your money, and he doesn't have to pay you back in any way. So now that'll have their interpretation of the following Gemara, then will be also influenced by that. How do you explain Poreo Lo Chovo by the Mudar Hana? When you're a Mudar Hana from it, how do you explain that he paid back the loan? So there's two possibilities. According to Rabbeinu Tam, we'll do the simple. According to Rabbeinu Tam, there's only one way to explain that and say that's a case of Mizonos, because according to him, that's the only case Hanan spoke about. And when the Gemara says it's Hanani, I mean, that case is the same case that Hanan spoke about, which is Mizonos. According to the other Balei Tosfos, according to Rashi, that case, when the Gemara says Parlo Chovo, means literally, it's equivalent, meaning that it's a different case, but it's equivalent to this in the sense that what Parlo Chovo is that he did pay his loan back. Why are you not giving him Hana? That's what the Tosfos explained. There's a difference between Hana that comes Yashir, direct to him, and Hana that comes that comes through causation, right, through causative effect. And that's how we explain it, that if they give him direct benefits, you hand him something, you do something for him, that is restricted. But if you pay the creditor, and because you're paying the creditor, therefore he no longer has to pay the creditor back, that's indirect hana. Indirect hana is not restricted in a case of mudar hana.
What about the fact that I'm going to collect the money back from him? Or is it a case that I'm not going to
collect?
I really didn't do anything for you some time.
What do you mean? I'm not going to collect. That's the whole point. He's not obligated to pay.
I'm not obligated to pay.
That's the whole case of Chanan, right? You're not obligated to pay.
I'm not obligated to pay. Somebody's not obligated to pay.
That's it. He's ended the loan. He's ended basically the creditor's right to go after him. That's basically what he's done.
Yeah.
He hasn't stopped. He hasn't given direct benefit. He just said the creditor can no longer chase this guy anymore. That's it. All right.
So going on this one, the person says,
according to Hanan, who says that Ibed Matab or Teniach Matab al Teretan Tzvi, right? Exactly.
So that. And it goes according to the first person who did, you have to pay back.
According to Rabban, if he has to pay it back, then basically all he's done is change the who's creditor. Then he hasn't been correlated to Chov, meaning that he hasn't really paid it back. All right. So that's how the Rabbanan explained him, that since he got the creditor off his back, right, then that's a benefit to him.
Yes, and then why would he be allowed to? So would he be allowed to do it then?
Right. So why, according to Rabban, he's not. So that's why Rabban is a
creditor. Rabban says even.
Oh, so Rabban comes up with a case where there is no benefit. It's a case where he doesn't have to pay the loan back. It's a case where he lent him money with no time limit. Right. So there's no at all because
the original loan.
Loan was given without any time limit, without any payback requirements or anything like that. It was basically an unlimited loan. You never have to pay it back. So Rabban says, okay, if that's the case, even the Rabban can agree in that case because he pays the loan, he hasn't benefited. The creditor wasn't coming after. But Rabban says no, even though there's no monetary benefit, there's still the embarrassment benefit, which is that he got him off his back, and he's like, every time he sees him, he doesn't feel awkward because he paid the money back. So that's a major piece of
it. He says that some of these cases where I'm paying back the money, and then I'm over to the right, get a measure on it. So I can't even really go back after him. So it sounds like I don't really get to, but if it was the case, I could go back then.
By saying from Rashi, but Rashi doesn't say literally there was mechila. He says that there's implicit. You probably remember the shame mechila, right, when he paid it without intention of getting repaid for it. I don't know if he literally was
So even if I'm on that, normally I could go back. I really couldn't get back, so I gave back a real value, value. And therefore, that's not. And one of the answers is that the case where I never had to pay back to begin with, even though he paid it,
I think that's Rashi is saying. The question is how you view Hanan. I mean, we've seen three interpretations. Seen Reino Tam, who says that none of this works.
Right.
Seen Tosu says it's a problem of grammar, so you don't need this mechila. Yeah, Rashi, who's unclear, he might be trying to interpret according to Rashi. Rashi says, since if you paid it and gave it to him as a loan, he wouldn't have to repay it to you. So too, when you pay it and don't expect payment back from him, I mean, that's the mechila aspect that he's talking about. Therefore, it's also as if you gave him no benefit. It's basically you lent him money without any expectation of repayment.
It's a little strange in Chacham and Rabban, because that's exactly what they're saying. When I pay someone back,
right,
there's no material that actually,
Right, okay, so I'm saying that's
a strange thing.
You might have to, and that's what we were saying before, I think, that you might have to use Tosfos to explain Rashi, because otherwise Rashi is still very hard to understand.
And you think that the problem with Rabbeinu Tam's phrase is just the love. Pareah is Chovo. The mission of what we're actually saying is, it's not Chovo.
Right.
It's not as obvious, so it really wouldn't fit with the, and that's the reason he's going to pay back. He's saying, no, she could have managed, but it's not saying
no, Pareah Chovo means he has an obligation to take care of his wife, husband, and Pareah Chovo means the third party's coming and taking care of that obligation.
But what we're saying basically is that he doesn't have, is that, in the mission we said that he doesn't have to pay him back.
Right.
Because he could say,
my wife could have.
She could have managed. So the reason that we're saying he doesn't have to pay him back is that Lamaise is saying,
I didn't really have
a hand of Chovo over there.
All right, but it's still called Chovo, meaning that Baisin obligated
by
Chovo. That's what Tosa says, that it's a case where Baisin Paskin, that she gets money, she's entitled to money.
Mm-hmm.
Even in that case, he doesn't have to repay
it. The Gilan Rashi is a little strange because it goes against the whole Rabbanan, which is when I pay your Chovo, no, it's not guaranteed because I do want to get paid.
Right.
So we have to say it's a special case that normally if I pay that, right, I could get the money, but here was a special Mechila.
Right. I say Rashi is not easy. I wanted to give you guys a flavor for the whole, because you want to know why there's so much tosos there. I'll give you a flavor for the different interpretations here. All right, so now just finishing up in the Gemara. So now the Gemara seems to say, Lishna Akrina, there's a girsa change here, the last line of this Gemara, Lishna Akrina, Hasanami Isli Hano, Bahi Hano, the Mixif Mnei. Over here, there's also Hano, because in Hano, that he is embarrassed to him. So now the question is, what's the Nafkamina between these two Lishonot? Right? And so in the Hagos Anchenberg, he explains.
Where's Lishna Akrina?
See there the Aleph is in the Gemara here up top here? There's an Aleph here.
Yeah.
Lishna Akrina. Okay, that we don't have that in our Gemara, but but it's added in by the yourselves for the Bach and others, is a lishnat lina. You get to know of the being embarrassed, which is exactly the it sounds like, what's the lishnat lina? That's the problem here. Always, the Rabbi said, I don't hold, Rabbi Moshe said, I don't hold like Rabba, because even though when paying the loan doesn't give him any benefit, still the removal of the embarrassment gives him benefit. Then the lishnat lina is, there is benefit because of the embarrassment. Sounds like they said the exact, those two lines of the Gemara said the exact same thing. So what's the difference between them? So he said, it brings down a lot of, it seems like from Rashi that this Girsa didn't exist. Like some other Rishonim don't have this next line in the Gemara, but those who do, from others who do, then this is, Vanakamina ben Shneel Lishonot, I'll read it to you, it's in the Hagos Ranchenberg. The Lishna Kama lo Chashiv Hana Gemura. It's not a full Hana. Of a Lishna Batra, Kisupa Chashiv Hana. This is an interesting thing. The difference between the first Lashon is that he gives them some benefit. It's not real Hana, but there is a benefit here. So they're arguing about whether some, the protection. The first Lashon says, what? There is embarrassment. So embarrassment's not full-fledged Hana when you remove the embarrassment, but there is, you are giving him something, an intangible item. Does that intangible item have value or not have value? That's what they're arguing about. Right? Does it have value? It does not have it. According to the second, the Lishna Kwina, the removal of embarrassment is Hana. It has monetary value, it has tangible value, and therefore it's clearly Hana. So that's the way the Ranchenberg understands the difference between the Lishonos is whether we're talking about an intangible or a tangible value here. The protection from Kisufa, the protection from embarrassment, is that simply an intangible value? And really the argument between Rebbe and Roshia is whether we consider the protection from embarrassment to be valuable or not valuable, because it's intangible. Or, but according to Lishna Akrina, Rabbi makes a definitive statement that Kisufa Hanahi, that is tangible value. When you remove that awkwardness or that embarrassment, someone would pay you for that. That's a value to it.
So now comes this person to Rosha that says it goes to Hanan.
Right.
That Karen has to be.
Right.
What about the Kisufa? I still have the benefit they give you the Kisufa. That, so I lost the money, and so I did nothing, you know. Right. So what about, isn't that another that I'm giving you, do you remember that I know that, you know, you don't have the embarrassment anymore?
Oh, what, the collection?
Yeah.
Right, so according to Hanan, that doesn't...
Because that's no reason I'm not going like Rabbi, because I can't go like Rabbana, because even though whatever...
But that's the point of Hanan. Hanan says that when I benefit you, when I give you benefits, where I didn't ask for it, you have no ability to come back and collect it from me.
Yeah, then since there's no monetary, but if it's super, it does play the account that has some value, therefore...
But that's, you have to explain like Tosu, that's grumel, that it's a causative value.
Say, and also the difference between the two reasons also sounds like, you know, like the first one sounds more like a grumel explanation, right? Is that because the embarrassment causes him to, you know, to feel compelled to pay it back.
I understand your question. Your question is that according to Hanan, you still have to be deal with the fact that there was Hanoah generated here. You don't have to explain Hanan because Hanan's in our mission. You have to explain how they're explaining the case of Mudr Hanoah, Oporlo Etzlovo. In that case, so even though you're saying that he's putting his money down, he has obviously paid the money, you're still protecting him from this embarrassment.
Right.
And embarrassment should be enough of Hanoah.
And that's the reason you didn't go like Rabban Mudalaba should be, and you have to explain Hanan who's wanted to avoid
the embarrassment. According to Tosfos, that's the difference. Hanan believes that when you have Hana, you take Rama, that's not considered Hana, versus the Chachamim who are going to say that Hana, you take Rama, is considered enough of Hana to be a problem. So that's how Tosfos explained. According to Rashi, that's working Gerach Mechila, right, then you do have that issue. I agree with you. I think it's not so easy to understand, according to Rashi, why it's this way. So that if there is Hana, El Hanan, if you look in Rashi, he looks in the wide line in Rashi, the last wide line in Rashi. Ella, Chanani, Uben Bakobo made the pro, Ben Baomish Loifro, Lesley Gabe Midei. There's nothing from him, Balab Mechilahi, and there's no Mechila. Babagal, the Saki Piron, Umikisufa, even though he removed it. So Rashi says that.
And Rabban Din Rabbi had this whole thing of, I know what's considered.
Well, you have to, because the Gemara is willing to interpret their machlokas and apply it to Porlo Eskovo, we have to say that they have some, there's something more there, machlokas, than just Mizonos. Rabbi Tom says, like, yeah, you're right. They argued in one specific issue, and that specific issue is what we're dealing with all the way through. Rashi and the Tosfos, the other Balei Tosafot, learned that.
You don't see it because Machlokas, not how you extended the Machlokas, but they weren't doing that what's considered on that, and that seems to be a question of what number.
Alright, so it's interesting. I'm telling you, I don't think it's easy, but it has, obviously, it has major implications for halakhically today, even when someone's with their anah, what's considered giving anah to somebody, whether you can collect money back when you benefit someone, again, this happens at other times. People take care of other people. They do something for their benefit, thinking they're going to be good, you know, about it. Have you then just given your money away, or, right? Or is that, or do you have an ability to create a debt now and have them pay you back? And generally, just a funny thing. Generally, we say that whenever Rabbi Gamliel or the halacha is like, it says, look in the Tosfos, top Tosfos on the deck, it says, Abagav, the Amar La, come on, come on, come on, Rabbi Gamliel, Rani, a Dibri Admon, Avacha Kamoso. Mad Piska, Parakashas, come on, Amadaki, Avi Ikar. That even though it seems from over here, right, that the halacha should be, alright, you know what, this is not, this is next tomorrow, I take it back. The question about whether Kanan should be, the halacha should be like Kanan over here, but we pass like the Chacham, that's an issue.
What does this mean, that maybe, we say Kanan at Sfi, that's such a strong relationship, it's a Sfi that you weren't here, so you're right, you paid the money, you're saving the investment, but because of the Kabbalah, you couldn't Kanan at Sfi, you didn't do anything, it's like nothing happened.
You're mafia, your money.
You're mafia, your money, so therefore, you're right, there is a benefit that's super, but there's no
mice there. Well, so according to him, if you're not going to experience fee, it's like a tapir, and then it's like a matzah aveda. It's like he found something,
right.
Like,
I made it. Yeah, you know, you see the investment, you didn't do that, as I know, you did it, you just put it that way, you got to make it after. According to Chachamim, that there is some way that you would have to pay me back, even if I was mocha or whatever you want to say, I did something that has, you know, gave you some credit for something. And even if I was more for now, I lost my business, then we look at what are the potential, you know, the
right.
Side effects. And then
I think that's fair. I think that's somewhat of what Rashi's saying. Rashi and on the first time would say something similar to what you're saying. All right, so that was a big. Now the Gemara will pull a little faster. We'll go through a couple more Mishnahs. Now Admon, right? Now we did the two Kanan. Kanan, we said at the beginning of the parak, right? Kanan said two, and Admon said Sheva, right? So now we're up to Admon Omer Shiva. Misha meis meiniach banim ubanot menan shenach chasim rubim abanim yorshim abanot is a note. When there's enough money to last for 12 months, then the boys inherit and the girls get mizonot. When the chasim uotim, when it's a case where there is smaller amounts, if there's abanot izonu, the girls take mizonot. Right, that's the Takana Susha. Right, Admon Omer Bishrusha and Izakar. Just because I'm a male, I should lose out. Meaning that my rights are really greater here, and now I'm going to lose out because I'm a male. That doesn't make sense. I'm a Rabbi Gamliel, Reini a Dibrei Admon. Admon makes a lot of sense here. My comma. What is Admon saying? Because I'm a Zohar, and I can learn Torah, which is the Maila, the Gemara earlier on, said, why should the Zkarim get it over the Banos? Because the Zkarim are Osek v'Torah. So that gives me, that should entitle me to greater rights, and if I have greater rights, I'm losing out. With greater rights, I'm losing out on getting the Yerusha here. What does learning Torah have to do with Yerusha? Meaning someone doesn't learn Torah, doesn't Yerush? They're Yerush. It has nothing to do with learning Torah. That I would have, in a case where there real are nechassim rubim, I would need the rights to be the yoreish, the proper yoreish. Therefore, since there's less property here, all of a sudden I've lost my rights to inherit midoraisa. So that's the way Admon learns, and then again, that's I was pointing out the Tosfos has to deal with this, that generally we would say when Rabbi Gamliel agrees with Admon, the halacha is like Admon. Nevertheless, here we pass in like the Chachamim. Alright, next mission. Atoin et chavero kadei shemen. Behold ibi kankanim. Someone who asks his friend for barrels of oil. Behold ibi kankanim, and he agrees to him, I owe you the barrels, but I don't owe you, or pitchers, I owe you the pitchers, or the, but I don't owe you the oil. Admon omer hold behold ibi mixas ataino yishav. But that's considered modem and mixus, and therefore modem and mixus, you have to take a shuvah. Mechamir mina odas mixus mina taina. He's asking one thing and he's getting something else back. So Amar Gamliel ran into Dibri Admon. I think what Admon says makes a lot of sense here. So that's the Gemara. Shmami no rabbanon. So let's listen from the rabbanon. Taino kuti misaurim. He says you owe me wheat and you owe me barley. The hold of the story, and he agrees that he owes barley. Potur. Right, then he is potter. He doesn't have to take a shvuah modem b'miksas. Why? Lema tabi tiyuf to the Rav Nachman and Shmuel. That should be a problem for Nachman and Shmuel. This is a machlokas in Boba Mitzio. Right, when you have two different items, when you have wheat and barley, and I agree to one of those items, is that modem b'miksas? Because the taina is the entire two items, and therefore when you agree to one of them, it's modem b'miksas. Or is that a kol for b'kol? I agree fully to the seorim, and I disagree totally with the chitim. They're two different claims, and in those claims, there's no modem b'miksas. So Rav Nachman and Rav Shmuel, taina chi kol b'seorim, modem lo b'achad me'em chayim. He thinks it's, Rav Nachman and Shmuel thinks it's modem b'miksas. So you see from our Mishnah over here, right, the interpretation of our Mishnah is, but that the Rabbanan, Tano Chitim Isarim, Behoza Bisarim, you're Mipotor, because here, he asks for what? Kadesh Shemen and Shemen, and agrees to the Kadesh Shemen. And what? The Chum said that's not considered, or they mix us. So that would be against Rav Nachman Shmuel's opinion there. Zamar Yudam Arab, Tano, Mido. No, he didn't say to him that I want pitchers with oil in them. He says, I want pitchers full of oil. His claim was only oil. He only made a claim of oil. And he agreed that he said that I only owe you pitchers. But he said Kadesh Shemen, he didn't mean you owe me pitchers with oil, and you owe me pitchers so full of oil.
Right. No one knows that at all.
But right, so it's ain't mean a kaina. The Gemara says, okay, my time to Adma. Alright, what's Amadmon saying? Why is this mud mix us according to Adma? El Amar Rava de Kuliyama, Heikha de Amar Lay, Malaya Sari Kadesh Shemen, Yeshli Biborcha. I have 10 barrels full of oil in your pit. Shemin Kadainli, Kantanim Lo Kadainli. They're clearly all he's asking for is oil, and not asking for barrels. Ashara Kadesh Shemin Malayim, Yishli Itzlecha, Shemin Kantanim Kantanidli. If he asks for him 10, you have 10 pitchers of oil that are full pitchers of oil of mine with you. Then he's asking him for the pitchers and the oil. Keep Ligay. What's the case? It's in between case. Shemin Damalay, Ashara Kadesh Shemin Yishli. So over here, he doesn't say what? He doesn't say Kadesh Shemin Malayim. So now, what does he interpret? He only asks him for Kadesh Shemen. He says, pitchers of oil. So now, when he says pitchers of oil, does he mean pitchers full of oil, or pitchers oil, or just pitchers that could hold oil, right? When he says Kadesh Shemen, he means the pitchers. When he says like this, he's not talking about, he's not looking for the pitchers, he's looking for Kadesh Shemen, meaning oil, but it's in there. So if you interpret the Mishnah this way, that seems to say that if there was no mention of Kankanim in the Mishnah, that's where Admon and their Chachamim have their Machlokas, when it's inconclusive, Kadesh Shemen, where it's not clear what he's asking for. So Admon says,
Machlokas
is by Kadesh Shemen, what did he really ask for? Did he ask for...
Did he only ask for the oil?
Right. When he says Kadesh Shemen, but he doesn't say Malayim, so does he mean pitchers full of oil? Or when he says Kadesh Shemen, meaning that he means, what? He just means
oil.
Right, so that's what Chachamim say, that it's not Modim Mixas Satayna, it's not because the Tainas are different. He's asking for oil, and I'm saying pitchers.
Machlokas is what's going on here.
What's the interpretation of Kadesh Shemen? Everybody would agree. So then, based on that, right, that's exactly what the Gemara now concludes. Had everybody would agree, if in the Lashon it was both barrel pitchers and oil, then it would be Modim Mixas. So now, even according to the Chachamim, it would be considered Modim Mixas. Lamas Habitiyot is Rabbi Abba. Let's see if the Rabbi Abba says the opposite in the Mishnah in the Gemara Bava Tzitz. I'm Rabbi Abba. Tano Chitin Sorim. Over here, we're now interpreting our Mishnah to read that if he said pitchers and oil, then everybody agrees that's Modim Mixas. That's equivalent of Chitin and Sorim. So I'm Rabbi Simi Rashi. Nasa Kamisha Tano Rimon Beklipato. That's different. That's different, meaning that there's sometimes two items are so connected that they're really one item. Whereas other times, two items are really two items. Chitim and Sorim, when you talk about wheat and barley, those are totally distinct items. What happens if you make a claim for a rimon, you ask for a pomegranate, uklipeto, and it's shell around, meaning that it's not just a rimon, even the pomegranate inside, but the whole pomegranate, right? The whole fruit of the pomegranate. Then, we're not saying that he's making two different claims of Rimon and Klipato. We're saying he's making one claim for a Rimon. A Rimon included both the seeds itself and the fruit or the shell or the skin that's around it. So it's over here. When he's asking for pitchers and oil, he's not asking for two distinct items, a pitcher and oil. He's asking for pitchers full of oil. Pitchers full of oil are one item.
Even though the answer coming back, there only one of them
A rimon without its shell or skin on it, it would not stay. Meaning that it's necessary. The two are one item because they're necessary for for each other. Whereas here, Shem and Mintzah below Kankanim, you can store Shem in other places. You don't have to have them in pitchers. Exactly what you're saying. I mean, the two, they're separable items. They are distinct items, and by the fact that he makes the claim, he answers back that I want Kankanim.
Just saying that Tupperware.
So what's the case here? Asara kadeh shemen yeshli etzlecha. I have 10 barrels of pitchers of wine, oil with you. Shemen lo ayuz bar meolam. Shemen never happened. Kankanin nami chamisha etzlecha v'chamisha leetzlecha. And even within the pitchers, 5 I have, 5 I don't have. So Adman amar yeshli lezon azeh l'shon kankanim. Therefore, Adman says that in this lashon is a lashon kadeh shemen includes both the oil and the pitchers. So therefore I have pitchers and oil. So he only agrees to pitchers. And even within pitchers, it's motive and mixtures because he only says 5 and not 10. Right? Umigo de mishtaba kankanim mishtaba now me shemen. So since now he has to take a shuvah on the kankanim, he's going to have to take a shemen on the shemen. I say gilgul, right? By gilgul shua, which is your lab. Once you have a shua going, you can include other things in him. Rabbanan sabri imlash on a zelashon kankanim. That when he says kadesh shemen, he means oil. He doesn't mean anything about the pitchers. Therefore, mashatano lo hodolo. When he's talking about five pitchers are not meaningful here. Umashodolo lo dano. What he's admitting to has nothing to do with it, and therefore there's no shua ever generated here. How does that help Rav Chiya? That helps Rav Chiya because even in the case of the Chachamim, where we say they would agree, if it was Kankanim, they would agree, right? That was the problem we had before. But because why do they agree over here? Because he's saying 5 and not 10. That's the motive that makes us is not that he's agreeing to the 10, the Kankanim and not the Shemin. It's because he's agreeing that even by Kankanim, he's going motive mix 5 and not 10.
That's
according to the Chachamim. Why, according to Rav Chiya Ba'avo, this mission is not a problem, even according to the Chachamim, because the Chachamim are saying that there's an evil Lashon HaZeh Kankanim. This Lashon HaKadosh Shem does not imply pitchers. Had it implied pitchers, they would agree to Admon.
Right.
If they agree to Admon, that means Chitim Sorim. If I admit to Sorim, that's enough. And he's saying no. Because even if his admission to Sorim, he's not saying I owe you all the Sorim, I only owe you half the Sorim. So that, in the admission of the Sorim, that's even that is only Modem Mixus uniquely. And therefore, why can he take the Shua on the Chitim? That's Aidei Gilgul, not because it's Modem Mixus on the entire claim.
The question of Chitim was on Adnan, no? Question on Rav Chiya.
No, Rav Chiya is the implicit. What's implicit from
this?
Implicit that if the Chachamim saw in this lashon kankanim, they would agree to that. If they agree to that one, that says Chitim Sorim. If I admit to Sorim, then I'm fired. So how do you solve the problem? I say, no, Admon's whole interpretation of why you're chayiv here is not because the Seorim, he's agreed to the whole Seorim, that's motive mixus, but even within the Seorim, he's motive mixus as Seorim. That generates a shvu on the Seorim, and then he rolls that shvu onto the Chitim. And then he rolls it onto the Chitim. Therefore, the Chachamim agree. If Kankanim, if there were Kankanim here, and then he admitted to the Kankanim, it's not that he admitted to the whole Kankanim, he only admitted to 5. And they would agree to Admon's position that, what? It's motive mixus as Kankanim. And therefore, both Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel and Rav Chiya Ba'avo are going to agree that the question in our Mishnah is whether Kadesh Shemen implies Kankanim or it only implies Shemen. Adam's going to read implies Kankanim. The Chachamim say it only implies Shemen. But their case, why you're Chayav Shavua here, they're going to be different here. Adam implies a Shavua according to Rav Nachman because that's Chitim and Seorim. You got Kankanim, that's good, and that's Chayav Shavua, and that supports my position. Chayav Ba'avo can't say that because he thinks you're Potter when it's Chitim and Seorim. So he's going to have to generate that. Why does Adam say there's a Shavua here? Because he only admitted to half the Kankanim. Even though the lashon here according to Adam implies Kankanim, but only then he agrees only to 5 Kankanim, not 10. That's what generates the Shavua. That generates the Shavua. And then you roll the shvuah over to the chitim, and that will support or not disagree with Rav Chiya's position that by chitim and seorim, and he admits to the whole seorim that's not a motive mixus case because that's not what our mission is talking about. Our mission is talking about a different.